WJX, mobile. Break stand, W2JKT, how's it going, Patches?
Hey,
hey, hope you're having a good start to your day.
I'm actually still on 18. I haven't made it to the freeway yet, but I got this little plateau here where I get into the repeater, so I figured I'd say hey.
Roger that. Well, I'll be around for a little bit, so if you need to go, that's good. I'll let the other guys know you're coming in.
Yes, KF4NXY.
Steven, KF4HKX, and I'll be right back. I got to take care of something right quick. For HKX. I'm back, guys. Sorry about that.
Okay, I'm just sitting here getting woke up and watching the news.
Sorry for that disappointment.
Actually got it on to see what the weather forecast is.
And I was just joking with you, David. Trying to have a little fun at 5:30 in the morning.
There was somebody else was talking to you when I jumped in, so I'm going to step back and let y'all pick it back up, and I'll be listening. Have a good morning. I'll catch you a little later. KF4NXY.
NXY, good to hear you this morning, and enjoy your cup of coffee. And Eric, if you can hear me, I'll be around for a good another 20 minutes or so. KF4HKX.
Mobile.
Morning. How are you?
Got a good excuse to drive the truck today. I'm doing good.
Not having to use that Echo Link this morning.
Much more enjoyable.
To try to use it going through the black hole, and it just got to where it was just so cumbersome that I quit. I don't know. I couldn't do it. But I've been thinking about it. If you got one of the, what is it, the BR1, you could probably do it that way.
Say, I'm not following. What do you mean?
One of the, DMR cell phone radios. It's already got the IP built into it. You don't need a hotspot. It's its own hotspot. So I'm pretty sure you could do Echo Link on it also.
Yeah, I'm following that. So. Yeah, I think you can because it has a button that you can push the PTT. And that's what I was running into with that Bluetooth microphone. And I don't, you know, I'm not... I'm trying to figure out how to say it. I guess I'm not smart enough or don't really understand how to figure it out, but, you know, whenever you hit the button on that little wireless microphone that I bought, there should be a key press that happens, but I don't know how to intercept it to figure out what it is. Nothing I've done so far is able to tell me what that button actually is.
I'm in the same boat. I'm not smart enough to help you, so... I don't know what to tell you.
Now I finally got my wired headphones to work. As you know, I run that little program that'll tell you when you hit a button on the phone and what it is. So I plugged the headphones up and I clicked the button and it told me what number it was and I just put that in Echo Link and now it works. You know, it's still Echo Link, so it's not great, but at least it gives me something to kind of hold, and I can click it to talk and let off, and it'll stop transmitting, so I don't have to watch the screen or hit the screen or anything.
Be good. That was the part I couldn't take, is you having to hit the screen and then hit the screen again to quit, and having to look at it instead of having the whole screen as what you touch, or they've got this little bitty icon at the bottom.
I don't understand that whole interface, why you would have the teeny tiny button for the transmit and the giant button to stop. But yes, but so far, I mean, it's working. I hate the delay. The delay just drives me crazy because, you know, you can get swamped. If somebody's a little too fast on the button, you're not getting a word in. I mean, it's just not going to happen.
And that's something I guess all of us could use a little training in, is slowing down, jumping on the PTT.
That's true. I don't know how much is needed for EchoLink, because, I mean, it's definitely slower, you know, because you've got the signal to the repeater, and I assume the repeater back or what, I don't know, and then it transmits over to internet. I'd hate to know how much delay there is. It's got to be several seconds.
I'm sure it's quite a bit, and it's noticeable, but, I mean, when you don't have any other option and you're out of town, I mean, that works good for that, but trying to drive down the road, no thank you.
Been a pain, but I guess it's working, and I can at least get on and talk for a little bit, you know. It does take a little bit of time to get it set up, you know, get my wired mic out and get it all laid in my lap so I don't have to focus on what I'm picking up. It's not quite as easy as holding the microphone.
Hey, I wonder if you could use the PTT button that comes with the Anytone, if that would do it.
But it's possible. I mean, it just depends on how that button is laid out, like what is it acting like, or and realistically on EchoLink, if you know, like I said, if you know what the key press is, so when you hit a button, whether it's on your headphones or that button, or like on my wired headphones, if you know what the key press is, EchoLink will let you put it in, and it'll look for it. When it sees it, it'll start and stop the transmission. But that's where I've run into the roadblock for the Bluetooth, was I don't know how to figure out what the key press is to be able to send that signal to EchoLink.
Two different wireless systems, and you're just adding more delay in there. I mean, I don't know. Like I say, it may work, but it's going to be a very cumbersome system.
For that, but like you said, it's probably more intended for the out-of-town communication when you just want to try it, or you're sitting at your computer, and not really so much driving down the road using it like a radio.
Definitely good for when you're at home or away, like I say, but our mobile is a different story. It's a little hard to use. And if you just want to listen, that's great for that, too.
For that, I wish that other repeater had the EchoLink. See, when you hit the black hole, I could go over, but once you get there, it's a done deal.
I think if you get on the 640 machine, it does have EchoLink, and you can hit it. I mean, I can hit it right now where I'm at down here at Sandy Flats. I don't know, and Dave can hit it over at his house, KB2HXS, so it's got pretty good coverage down that way, and he was on it all the way to Charlotte, so it's another option if y'all program it in, but it does have a tone on it. Ready on it.
Off the top of my head, which one is that one?
Andersonville. W4YNK, I can't remember the call on that one. I'd have to look it up again.
Does a single sideband they have, right? KO4CN.
They do the flow scan net.
EB, not the SSB. It's too early in the morning for a bunch of acronyms. Yeah, slow scan net. That's exactly what I was thinking of, and that's a 10-single sideband.
You covered.
Stand on it a few times since I got my new radio, and it's definitely much more enjoyable on the base 2-meter than it was with my other setup, where I had to just use the phone to listen to the radio to do the SSPB. So I'll have to give it that. That was pretty nice. You get some decent photos from some whatever they send them.
Decoding the pictures now.
Use Ham Radio Deluxe. It has SSPB decoding and encoding in the software, but there's a few of them out there. you can tell they were built back in the 80s. You know, it's kind of like your normal software for ham radio. It always looks dated, so, I mean, it's out there. It's not always easy to set up, but, you know, if you just want to decode, all you got to do is the same thing you do for most digital modes and get your mic input and output set up, and you're almost there, so it's not that bad if you just wanted to decode.
My phone, I can sit there and I can let my phone listen and it pulls the pictures up. And it is pretty cool to see some of the stuff that they can send across the airwaves. I mean, that is pretty neat to be able to do that. My ID5100 has it built into it, and you can Bluetooth your phone right to it. So it's pretty cool to watch.
I know, I don't know if the FT5 had the capabilities, but the FT3DR had, there was a camera microphone you could buy and take photos with it and send them SSTV over the phone, or over the radio. I thought that was neat, although not something I would ever think about investing in, but it is kind of cool when I think about it.
Will do it. It's still an option, and I'm like you. Unless I was, you know, doing weather spotting or, you know, something like that, where I needed to send information like that, I don't know that I'd invest in that. You know, I'd have to have more of a reason than just being able to send a picture if I wanted to.
A very limited use case to spend that kind of money on a microphone. I'm surprised Ken hadn't got on. I wonder if he's sleeping in this morning or something.
KN4, TFW Mobile.
Good morning, Ken. And Eric's out there. He's listening. He probably ain't got right to the coverage area yet.
Out there, Ken. It was getting late now. It's 5:36, so you had to be in the car.
The car waiting for defrost. I was listening to you guys talk about slow scan.
I'm getting ready to pass your place, so you better hurry up.
Way early.
Really don't know how I did it. Well, I mean, nothing out of the ordinary. I just, here I am.
What, here in a minute? This morning, and I looked at the clock. It's 5:20. I'm usually not in the truck by 5:20. It's usually 5:25, pushing 5:30 before I get in the truck.
I'm out of the door at about 5:30, and that. But I'm almost defrosted. I'll be rolling here in a minute.
I'm coming up on the Ingles right now. Give me a stop down here at the QT.
I'll be sitting there a while with nothing to do but talk on the radio.
First things I could be doing.
Where'd you get you a breakfast biscuit or something? I think QT's got stuff like that, don't they?
You got breakfast biscuits, burritos, muffins, you name it, it's pretty much there.
The speed station on 101, and man, you drive by there, go get fuel. And I don't know if they've got the chicken that Speak started doing a while back, but man, it smells good. A lot of times when you pull up in there.
Out into the air to attract attention.
Burger King right next door now, because, you know, they were kind of in the same building, and now Sphinx is their own building. So, you know, when BK, when they get the grill and the burgers, those smell good too. You got two of them side by side now. It's tempting whenever you start to get fuel.
Be a plan behind that. KO4HKX. But guys, I'm going to go ahead and stop here for a minute, so I'll be out for just a few minutes. KO4HKX.
73 KO4CN.
Good morning, Eric. KN4TFW.
Yeah, how's it been going? I haven't been on the air this week yet. Been working at home. Got a little bug over the weekend from the 7-year-old. He brought it home from school, and so we all had it. And I'm just getting out of it now, so going back into the office today. How are you doing?
You know, two more days left in this week, right? And then there'll be short weeks for a couple of weeks.
Sorry, I'm chewing my crackers, but yeah, I'm off next week. So I'll be, I'm leaving Saturday to go to Washington, D.C., and I'll be up there for a couple of days and coming back, and then the YL and I are doing Thanksgiving next week with the kids at one of her friend's houses in Denver, North Carolina, which is a little bit outside Charlotte. So it should be a good week next week. You got any special Thanksgiving plans?
I think Tuesday night, run up to Raleigh and spend Thanksgiving with my sister-in-law and mother-in-law. And that it's probably been 20 years since we've done Thanksgiving with them because Susan always has to work on that Friday. But she's retired now, so there's no more Fridays and no more days working when I'm off. So it'll be nice. KN4 TFW.
Again, this will be the first year you're eating good then, right?
Between two families, so that's doable, though. It'll be an adventure. I'm taking the EV up to D.C., so I'm going to have my first real adventure with doing a long-distance trip on it. I'm a little bit nervous, but I won't be traveling on any of the big travel days, so I'm hoping that I won't run into a bunch of full chargers along the way.
Guys doubled a little bit in the beginning. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, you'll finally get to eat a good Thanksgiving meal, but yeah, and I hear Eric, but yeah, I don't know if I could do it, Eric. I believe I'd be too nervous.
But I don't know. I'd travel really far with an EV, at least not until they got a lot more charging stations in there. And yeah, last time we ate at my sister-in-law's, I think we didn't eat till about 7:30 that evening, and then I had to drive back from Raleigh. Like I only made it to the state line, and Susan had to drive.
A bunch of charging stations along I-85 and I-95, and there's an app called PlugShare that has all the charging stations on all the different networks in one map. So there's the only dry spell is between last city in North Carolina, I think it's like Wilmington, North Carolina, and Richmond. It's pretty dry between them, but other than that, you know, I shouldn't have any trouble finding a charging station. It's just a matter of whether they're full or not.
Good luck on that one. That would make me a little bit too nervous just because it's, you know, God, I don't know. That'd be the only thing that's going to keep me from ever adopting true EVs, so I still don't know. Go ahead, Ken.
Welcome back. So how long does it go along the highway?
Not super fast. It's a GM kind of first generation of EV. One reason it's so cheap. It charges at 50 kilowatts, and it has a 65 kilowatt hour battery. So you're looking at, it'll get to 80%. Like, if I stop and I'm at 20% state of charge, it'll charge it to 80% in, like, half an hour. So it's enough time to get out, stretch my legs, get something to eat, go to the bathroom, whatever. And the trip planner says I'll probably have to stop, like, two, maybe a third time on the trip. So I'm looking at about an hour and a half of stoppage time for charging along the way. And it's, like, you know, without stopping, it's about a seven-hour trip. So it's not great, but it's also not terrible.
It's time to your trip.
Is that time for me, so I'm going to have to say 7:30. Y'all be safe out there on the road this morning, and I'll probably be on here early because I got to leave work, so it'll probably be around 1:30, so I don't know if I'll talk to anybody, but if I do, I'll talk to you then or tomorrow morning. So but anyway, y'all have a good one. 7:30, KO4CEF, and I'll be clear when you're fine.
7:30, Andrew, KO4HGX. Maybe around
7:30, Andrew. Enjoy that awesome meeting. KN4 TFW.
Great day. This is W2JKT.
This morning, Patrick.
Send me a cold drink. I already had a microwave biscuit, so with no point in getting another one. Just where you're going with your vehicle there.
Just outside of Washington, D.C. on the south side in Northern Virginia.
I missed that part and didn't know how long a trip you were taking, but yeah, I'm with the other guys. It's going to definitely be a first-time experience for you, I'm sure.
at first, but I'm not really anymore now that I, you know, I have all the apps and the support and the mapping and all that stuff that says where the charging stations are. And, yeah, I'm not so worried about it. I think it'll be okay.
Let us know how that trip goes.
Definitely. And I'm going to bring, you know, I have, you know, Ryobi, we make these inverters. You put a bunch of our 40-volt outdoor product pool batteries in, and it gives you a 120-volt inverter. And I'm going to bring one of those and a whole bunch of 40-volt batteries and my plug-in charger. So that would get me, it won't be fast, but if I get in a real bind, I can dump, you know, I can stop for an hour and put like 4 miles of range in it. And that's, you know, if I do get in a bad way, I can at least get a couple extra miles out of it. But that's dire straits there if I have to do that.
I would rather have a backup plan than be caught with my pants down there.
Get an hour to get a few miles of range than pay a couple $100 for a tow truck on Thanksgiving weekend. I've learned is that the heater, if you run the heater, it really, really, really socks your battery. I mean, it really drains it a lot quicker. You know, running the heat the past couple mornings here, I use about 20 more miles of range over the 85-mile trip to work. So, you know, I drive 85 miles, and it takes about 105 out of the range. So, yeah, the heater definitely sinks it. So, yeah, I need to get used to bundling up and being a little chilly in the car.
Kind of electrical load's going to zap that. I mean, that's just... And the heater's a big one. That's a big load there.
4 miles per gallon when I run the heater here in the wintertime.
There's been my big concern with the EV stuff is the range on them is... There's a lot of variables that go into that. Terrain, I mean, there's a lot of things you can't do anything about.
But the computer in this car will tell you how much of an effect those things are having on your range. Like, I have a display that tells me, you know, how much range my driving technique is adding or subtracting. It'll tell me how much the terrain is adding or subtracting from the total range. And the same thing for the outdoor temperature and the climate controls. So at least it gives me a really good estimate on what I actually have left as I am driving. And, you know, I'm not sure if it uses the nav system to kind of project the terrain, but it does give you a summary of how those things are affecting it so you can, you know, have a reasonably good estimate of your range.
They're using the yaw sensor and the accelerometer in there also to get the incline you're using, input and throttle position, you know, all that stuff. So yeah, that I'm sure they're using all that in there somewhere to calculate that stuff.
Example, when I left the house, it said I had 202 miles of range, and now I'm at 153, so that's 49 miles. But my trip odometer is at 34.8, so I've used 15 more miles of range than I've actually driven, and the display for the energy use says that my climate controls have used 13.2 miles of range. So that pretty much adds up that the heater has, you know, have been responsible for that. So it's pretty neat.
Didn't have all that in the first generations. They had some of it, but not all of it. And, you know, you learn as you go. So every step is one more step forward.
It's my lead foot.
No matter what vehicle you're driving, that's everybody's problem.
This thing starts to actually complain when you get over about 65. There's a little circle around the display, and it starts to turn yellow when you start going over 65. So it kind of lets you know that you're starting to get into it a little bit, you know, with the cube related power loss.
And that's right along with where most manufacturers, from my experience of people coming in and complaining about their fuel mileage, I'm more familiar with the Ford side than I am, and GM, than I am anybody else's. So I know with Ford, I spent a lot of time dealing with fuel consumption issues. Right around 62 mile an hour is maxed out. You'll get your best fuel economy. And my experience with those cars that I have is around the same thing. They've maintained, you know, that's where they found the best fuel economy and all that is. And so that, right along with that experience.
Easy to figure out, you know, like how much power you need to propel a car at a given speed on flat ground. And they just design your engine to be most efficient at that power output. With electric vehicles, it's a little different. It's just basically the motors are, you know, pretty much efficient everywhere. But it's just, you know, the slower you drive, the less power output you have, and so the longer your battery lasts. So just as I'm gonna skip here for a second. A reference, like if I'm just driving around town at like 35 miles an hour, I get like 4.2 to 4.4 miles for every kilowatt hour. But if I'm driving 70 to work with the heater going, I'm getting like 3.0 now. So it does vary quite a bit, you know, depending on how fast you're driving, climate control, and all the other things.
Again, don't let us leave you out.
Good, I'm just sitting back learning. And just cruising into work.
I'm going to leave you out. I know conversations can get a little one-sided sometimes.
It's out of my wheelhouse, but I'm learning.
Answer me one question, and if you found out yet or not. If you were driving down the road at 60 mile an hour and rolled down the driver's window just a little bit to get some fresh air, does that car still tin can on the top where you can actually hear it like a percussion drum?
Say that again. I'm in a spot where I don't hear the repeater real well.
All right, roger that. I was asking if that car, if they finally fixed, if you roll down the driver's window, the roof would act like a drum on top of it, you know, going down the road, and it used to drive me nuts when I had to drive one of those things.
Maybe once it warms up later today, I'll check it. But, yeah, I definitely don't want to roll the window down now.
On my Ram truck, if you roll one of the back windows down a couple of inches, the passenger front seat, that sucker will just start shaking like heck, and you'll think you got a flat.
How much that right there, you know, cracking a window messes with the aerodynamics on a car, you know, 2 inches. It really messes with them.
It from making that popping sound and bothering your ears, I got to have at least 3 windows cracked.
First generation Bolts, I had to drive one of them to Charlotte for a training class on it. And I like to ride with the window down no matter what the temperature is. I'll have the heat on with the window down just so I can get some fresh air. And Lord mercy, that trip drove me crazy.
My truck has that issue, so luckily it's got a sliding rear window, and as long as I open that, I won't get any. But yeah, my truck, if I only roll down the back windows a little bit, it's really, really bad.
You go to sleep at one time now.
The truck only does it when you get over about 35 miles an hour.
Like I said, it's just affecting the aerodynamics of the vehicle, and every one of them is different. At what point they're going to do it and how much it affects them. You know, some cars, you just crack one driver's window and you don't have any rear windows, and you got to roll, and then, you know, other ones, you got to roll down the back windows, and you got to crack the 2 front ones because of that. So it's just a matter of the aerodynamics coming across the car that calls it.
If I'm going to the dump, she likes to hang out the window. So if you roll the 2 back ones down, you're going to have one of the front ones down a little bit.
the way they design modern cars to be so aerodynamic, the slipstream is very smooth and there's very little turbulence. So when you crack that window, it definitely creates a good vacuum, and it's just trying to pull air out of the car, and it just beats back and forth. So, you know, if there were some more turbulence, it wouldn't be so bad. But since they make the slipstream so smooth, it's definitely going to be a common thing on most vehicles these days.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I've heard it on pretty much any vehicle you get in, but it seemed like that first generation Bolt was the absolute worst. I don't know what it was, you know, and they weren't really, I guess they were paying real close attention to the air coming across it, and it just, you couldn't roll the window down at all. And the one I was in, it was just a two-door, so you didn't have an option to roll down the back glass. And it was just, I don't know, like I said, it was just the worst one I've ever been in for that particular problem.
Sure, and it's the bigger one, it's the EUV, so it's a little bit bigger than the EV, and, you know, it's actually really nice. I mean, it's one of the nicest cars I've ever had, but it's definitely comfortable, and you know, we drive with the windows down whenever it's nice out, but we're never in that place where we just crack one. If it's nice enough to have the window crack, we just roll it all the way down because it's nice out. So, but I'll do the experiment maybe this afternoon. It's supposed to warm up a little bit today, and I'll let you guys know. But yeah, this is their newest one, so hopefully they've addressed it.
For HKX, well, maybe they have. Like I said, that was just one of the things I was curious about. From my experience with them, I haven't done anything with them in the recent years at all, so I was just curious if that was one of the ones they've taken care of, because I know there was quite a few people brought them into the dealership complaining about that when we first released them.
I talked to too many other Bolt owners yet. I did join an online forum yesterday, but I didn't see any complaints about it in the little bit of browsing that I did, but I haven't gotten too deep into it.
People don't ride with their window down at all anymore. They're either on the phone or doing something else, and it's, you know, or they got the AC going. So most people don't notice it, but it's just one of those things. I've always rode with the window down. Just one of those things I noticed.
Forward to the new Equinox that's coming out in 2024. They're doing an all-electric Equinox on their brand new Ultium platform, and it's going to have something like 350 miles of range and a 7-seater, you know, full-size SUV. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. I will probably trade up to it like the second I can get my hand on one.
The commercials where they've been pushing EV stuff pretty heavy, GM has. Another thing that I just thought about that's going to affect your economy on your trip is if you're taking, you know, the family with you, there's going to be more weight in the car, and that's going to add some extra draw on that battery also.
Yeah, you know, accelerating that extra mass will take some extra energy, but then on the regeneration side, I'll recapture most of it. The regenerative braking in this car is very aggressive. And it has this one pedal mode where it will only use regenerative braking. It will not use the friction brakes at all. And you can recover 90 to 95% of your energy from motion. So even with the extra weight, you know, there'll be a little of extra rolling resistance from the extra weight, a little bit of extra energy to get up to speed. But, you know, once you get up to speed, that extra weight doesn't really have a big effect, so hopefully it won't be too bad. I mean, I'm going to DC by myself, so it won't be an issue this time. But I have taken, you know, Courtney and the kids out to Hendersonville, Asheville, stuff like that, and haven't really noticed any additional battery use for that. So hopefully it all just works out in the wash with the regenerative braking.
It's just something to watch out for. I know that was one of the things you had to watch too. And it's a surprisingly low on most cars. I don't know on that one how low the actual passenger weight limits are. I know, like, the Ford, just one that come to mind, the Ford Thunderbird the little two-seater Thunderbird. The occupant capacity was only like 425 pounds, so two good-sized adults, and that was it. And you were over the weight capacity of the car.
Yes, and I don't know. I haven't looked at the sticker on this one to see what the payload is yet. But, yeah, no, it's something to look at for sure, because, you know, I mean, the kids are really light. I think, you know, the younger one's like 50 pounds, and the older one's maybe 100 pounds, and, you know, Courtney's tiny, so, you know, I'm not really worried about it. But, yeah, it's definitely something to consider, especially if I'm going to, you know, haul my parents around, but both of my parents are a little overweight, so it's something I need to look at.
More along the lines of luggage, something most people don't pay any attention to, because we've been trained not to. You know, gas fuel, you didn't care, you just throw it in or you worry about it. But with those cars, that's something you have to pay attention to, because it does matter a pretty good bit from my past experience. But like I say, haven't messed with the new stuff yet, so or haven't had any hands-on with it at all. So they may have addressed some of those issues.
Well, room in here for luggage, and, you know, I travel pretty light, so hopefully it's not an issue for me, but, yeah, I see what you're saying.
And, you know, that massive antenna you got up on top of there, that and that wind drag, that could cause some, too. I'm just joking with that one now.
So, but, yeah, no, it's, yeah, the antenna, yeah, all the wind drag from that little bitty thin antenna. I mean, it's some, but probably not noticeable. But, yeah, I don't know, we'll see. I will have a full trip report to make when I get back. I'm definitely going to take some notes, and, you know, I wish I could data log what was going on with the car and stuff, but I'm going to do my best to try to keep track of, like, you know, how many miles I get and how long I charge for and how long it takes and stuff like that.
NYC Mobile. Good morning, everybody. Just enjoying listening to y'all. Sounds like you're planning on taking a trip in the EV. And I was just going to recommend, and you probably already know about it, but there's an app called A Better Route Planner, and it will do all the calculations for you, even tell you what additional weight does.
Planner. All right. I'm going to look for that one.
I'm an OBD2 dongle, a Bluetooth dongle that is in my OBD2 port over here, and that lets the app talk directly to the car so it can monitor the battery, and you can actually monitor all kind of stuff in Torque Pro with it. It's worth looking into.
Fusion on my truck, I've got the Bluetooth OBD interface for that. But yeah, I found the app, I'm downloading it now. Right now I'm using PlugShare. If you sit down at a computer, PlugShare will also help you with all the range calculations and all that other stuff for planning your charging stops. So right now I've got two charging stops planned, but based on what I'm seeing here using the heater and how much range it uses, I might actually add a third charging stop on the trip to DC.
Further than I've driven mine, so it'll be interesting to see how it goes, but I'm sure it's doable, but a better route planner will help plan it out for you.
I've already downloaded and installed it on my phone, so when I get to the office, I'll play with it a little bit.
What you're using in your truck will probably do the communications for you, too. I didn't mean to interrupt KO4IYC Mobile.
You're welcome to join us in any conversation we're having. Yeah, feel free to stick around. We talk, you know, whenever I'm here, we end up talking about EVs a lot because I'm so excited about it. I feel like I dominate the conversation sometimes. So let's move it around a little bit. WTJKT.
Learning KO4HKX. And I enjoy talking about it because it's something that I did for a living. And I, you know, just kind of the technology and the automobiles, I enjoy it. So, yeah, I'm good with it.
Talking about it, I'm all wrapped up in it because I got the car, plus it's my job where I work in Greenville, does electric vehicles. So, it's on my mind a lot.
There.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I was just saying, because I have the car and really enjoy it, and I also work at an EV company in Greenville.
Affirmative, is that Proterra?
Yeah, that's us. My name doesn't ring a bell. We've got so many new people, I can't say I know him.
Sure.
Oh, sure don't, but you can, they'll know me. I'm the old guy that walks around with the camera all the time.
There's some noise source here by Woodruff Road that completely swamped their beer.
If I don't know either one of those names. We've hired a lot of new people, but ask them if they know the old guy that walks around with the camera all the time. That's what I do. I'm a technical writer, so I document stuff for them.
That's cool. Yeah, those Nick Warren was a guy I worked with at iTron. He left to go to work for Proterra. I don't know if he's still there. And then Harrison Tucker worked with me at TTI, and he left to go to Proterra maybe 2 years ago. So they're both engineers, electrical engineers. They're probably working in firmware development somewhere in that building.
A lot of people working from home. We've gone from under 200 people to around 1,000 pretty quickly here.
The parking lot, so I'm going to say 7-3. Everybody be safe today driving into work, and maybe I can catch you guys this afternoon. KN4 TFW.
7-3 is Ken, KO4 HKX. And guys, I'm going to have to start getting ready for these guys to get here. So, Eric, have a safe trip. Y'all, and Ernie, I'll get your name in a minute. Y'all have a safe trip on into work, KO4 HKX, and I'll be clear for now.
So that's some pretty big growth there to go from 200 to 1,000. We've pretty much done the same thing during the pandemic. You know, everybody was stuck at home during the pandemic and decided to do their home projects, so, you know, power tool sales were good. So we did a lot of expansion during the pandemic as well, and yeah, it's a good time to be in EVs. I really ought to think about it because, you know, Greenville is a lot closer to Shelby than Anderson is, and yeah, I might actually have a great time working on EVs, so maybe that's something I ought to look into.
And right now there's lots of jobs out there, although they are cutting back in some areas.
Are too, and I'm definitely not going to do it now. I'd probably wait until some of this economic uncertainty is out of the way. I have a pretty good position where I am, and I'm pretty safe, so I'm just going to hang on for this little downturn and maybe start looking for something maybe afterwards if I decide to. I mean, I really like my job, and I have a good position, so it's tough. It's just a long commute. I think as long as they let me work at home most of the time, you know, it's doable. But yeah, it's something I should at least consider it.
What you're saying, I'm pretty much in the same situation with Patera. I'm one of the employees that's been there way longer than most, and I enjoy it. And I'm only driving down 2 days a week, so I've got it. Well, I'm very well blessed. I'll say that.
I'm working on the management team, so you know, it's a pretty good place to be right now. I did have to let somebody go last week because we did do some cutting back, and that was the worst. That's the first time I've ever had to do something like that, and it was one of the new folks. I had just hired them a couple of months ago, and then, you know, the leadership came through and said I had to reduce the size of my team by one. That was the worst thing I've ever done in my whole life, but, you know, you get through it, you move on, but as far as my job, you know, I feel like it's pretty safe, so I'm just going to chill out for a while.
Being on either side of that termination process is not good.
Not good, but luckily my YL works for a company in Shelby that is, they have an engineering spot open, so I gave her his resume, and she forwarded it to her engineering team, so I'm hoping to get him a job at her company. You know, my company is actually treating him really well. They gave him a good severance, and they're going to pay to you know, he relocated from Nevada to take this job, so they're going to pay for another relocation for him. So if I can get him a job with her company, they'll pay to relocate him back up to Shelby so he can take it. So I'm working on that now, and I'm hoping I can make that work out.
And I'm in Greenville because there wasn't anything available at home when I started down here, and I have thought about it'd be nice to get back closer to home, but I'm enjoying what I'm doing, so I'm going to hang here for a little while longer. I am almost at my exit, Eric, so I'm going to go ahead and get off here. I will say I did look at APRS.fi, and I saw you got that going on in the car, too. So glad you got the radio in there and everything, and good talking to you and the rest of the group this morning. Have a safe trip the rest of the way in. 73 from KO4IYC.
Have a great day yourself. I'm about 15 miles out, so I'll be getting off here soon, too. So have a good one. We'll talk to you again soon. This is W2JKT Mobile.